Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be in worship. Just before we launch into our last week in this series, I want to just share with you a couple of things. Some of you would know that our changes to the road to recovery are coming up. And we're moving towards stage three, and that means that we could possibly re-attend worship in person. If you would like to be involved in that, we've put a plan in place here, and if you'd like to know more about that, then please make contact with our office during the week. But if you'd like to be involved in in-person worship, obviously adhering to all the social distancing rules, then please contact our office and speak to Debbie Monday through Friday. You can either contact her via text message, email, or by phone as well. So if you'd like to do that, then please do that during this week. We have 18 spots. There's 15 free at the moment, but please book in for that if you'd like to come along on that day. Obviously, social distancing will occur, will be spread out throughout the building, but if people don't have access to online or it is a difficult space, then please, by all means, make contact with us and we'll endeavour to include you in worship here. From next week, we're looking at when God doesn't make sense. For the next 3 weeks, when God doesn't make sense, so we're looking forward to what comes out of that series, and it's a three-week series, but this morning we're looking at chasing carrots, the endless pursuit of more. It seems a little ironic that we're right in the middle of the carrot capital of, well, I think Australia. There just seems to be carrots everywhere at the moment. I was chatting to somebody this week who told me that through the one of the processing firms here, they process 400 million carrots each year. So that's a pretty amazing effort. This morning we've been looking for the last 5 weeks for the Chasing Carrots series. The first week, who remembers what we looked at? We looked at the endless pursuit of fame, the endless pursuit of money and stuff, the endless pursuit of perfection, was the third week. The endless pursuit of approval last week. If you didn't get a chance to hear last week's message that Debbie brought to us, do yourself a favour, go back and have a listen or connect with that via the podcast on our website. It is an outstanding message from last week. This morning we're looking at the endless pursuit of comfort. I think we're all fairly well guilty at times, aren't we, of looking and finding this space where we have an endless pursuit of comfort. We're always striving to be comfortable. When we go to the shops and we buy a piece of clothing or some shoes, well, we want it to be comfortable, right? You're not going to buy a pair of shoes that make your feet ache all day. Or maybe you are and you think, oh, let's just walk them in. The reality is we don't. We always are looking for what's comfortable. We always seem to be looking at our life and the passage of life that we live, and we're looking for ways that can make us comfortable. Last weekend, as Neil shared, Logan was in hospital. And I had the pleasure of sharing a room with him for 3 nights. It felt like 300 years. I actually wondered whether it would have been a less to journey to the promised land with the Hebrews. It felt like it was going to take forever, particularly in the night space. You see, they gave me this king-size bed, and no, they didn't. It was this couch that is not built for comfort at all. And I've got to tell you, there's nothing quite the same as being at home. Nothing quite the same between this uncomfortable, lumpy, can't get comfortable bed that I seem to inherit at the hospital and getting home to your own bed and feeling like, ah, yeah? We've all experienced times like that. Maybe it's when we get home and we've been on our feet all day and we just want to get our comfy slippers on, right? And that just, there's that sense of comfort. In this series, we've been talking about the carrots that we chase, just like the donkey and the picture of the donkey and the stick and the piece of string. The things that we chase throughout our life, whether it be fame, money and stuff, perfection, approval, or maybe it's comfort. Throughout the entirety of this series, we've wanted to point each of us and encourage each of us, rather than a chasing aggressively for everything that's around us, but to a chase aggressively after God. If you look on TV, whether it be in the daytime or at night, it seems to be all the time now, you see on TV these infomercials and things that tell us that if we engage with whatever that product is, that this is going to make our lives the best life. And if we were in church this morning, I'd be asking for responses from around the room of some of those things that you've seen on TV and maybe been suckered into, like me, or maybe you've just thought that is not going to help me at all. And there's a long list of things that are on TV that tell us that this item will make sure that we have the best life. It will create a space for us that is a sense of ease for us. We're always looking for the best life. If you, one of the dying endangered species in the world today is a thing called a bookshop. There are less and less bookshops around the place. And one of the things I love about going to the airport when I'm having to travel somewhere or traveling home is to go into the airport bookshop, because you don't get them around as much anymore. But there's a whole section in the bookshops that I've been into in recent days that talk about self-improvement and doing things to create a better life for ourselves. You see, there are some of us that have struggled with the endless pursuit of fame. Some of us that have struggled with the endless pursuit of money and stuff. Some of us that have struggled with perfection. Some of us that struggle with the endless pursuit of approval. But I think if we're really honest, we've all struggled with this next one. We've all struggled with the endless pursuit of comfort. In John's letter, he says this in 1 John 2. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 17 times in John's letter, he uses the world in his letter. Let's start with what loving the world doesn't mean. It doesn't mean we don't love the people in the world, even our enemies. What does Jesus tell us? That we need to go into all the world and make disciples into all the world. He even talks about caring for those from Judea, Samaria, those that are in our country, those who are sworn enemies of us, and everybody else. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't enjoy the gifts that God has given us. Every good gift comes from God. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't love creation. I've got friends of mine who find a real connection to God when they go out into creation. Hopefully that doesn't mean, though, roughing it camping. I'm sort of more keen on the glamping side of things for me, you know, because that's comfort. There's a sense in which we're always trying to make what is uncomfortable comfortable in everything that we do. The thing about God's love towards the lost and the hurting and the poor and the weak and the faithful and the sacrificial is that it's the love that has been given to us as well. Because at some point in our life, we've been the lost, we've been the hurting, we've been the weak, and it is a sacrificial love that God gives to us. When we spend our time chasing after a counterfeit comfort, what it leaves us with, unfortunately, is this level of spiritual emptiness. It's a level of spiritual emptiness. When we chase after comfort in all the wrong places, we just get left with this empty feeling afterwards. In Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, he shares these words in 2 Corinthians 5. For Christ's love compels us that we should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and was raised again. When we try to live by comfort, we don't live for God. If we turn to the scripture passage in Hebrews chapter 11, we would see in there what is referred to by many as the heroes of the faith, right? And you see in there stories listed out of guys like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, Moses. They're all mentioned in here. And right the way through this entire chapter, we see in there that it's by faith. It's by faith. You see, if we're always searching for comfort, then we're not actually stretching ourselves to step out of our comfort zone and do what God has asked us to do. What would have happened for Peter? He could have easily stayed in the boat, but Jesus said, "Come to me." And Peter would have gone on living a life of the ordinary when he got, because he wouldn't have got to experience the extraordinary. By being able to step out of the boat and follow Jesus' invitation, he went from just living the ordinary life to the extraordinary life. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11, we see in there a story, the recount of the story of Noah, where he was asked to build a boat, and the people around him had never seen rain. It's not just that there hadn't been rain, that they were in drought, but some of them had never seen rain. Can you imagine someone saying, "I'm building a boat because God's sending the rain," and they don't even, they've never seen it. And so his faith was the thing that got him there. Abraham left his home to occupy the promised land. Sarah believed that she'd be with child, and it was by faith that she was with child. Joseph, on his deathbed, spoke of the exodus of Israel from Egyptian slavery. Moses, with his speech impediment, by faith was used by God to face down Pharaoh, who was one of the most powerful men of the day. None of these things were easy. They were extraordinary by anybody's standards. None of the people lived in comfort. Every one of them required God to show up and make sure that the impossible became possible. When we think about the system of this world or building a life where God isn't necessary, it's in direct contradiction to the 66 books that we have in Scripture. What part of our life are we living without God in it because we can do it all by ourselves? We aren't being stretched. We aren't being challenged to step out of the boat and allow our ordinary everyday life to shift to being a life of the extraordinary. In verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him." The challenge for us this morning is that you cannot pursue comfort and live by faith. You cannot pursue comfort and walk by faith. You see, instead of embracing comfort, the challenge for us this morning is to embrace the authentic. Why would we chase a counterfeit comfort when we can embrace authentic comfort that comes from God. The verse of scripture that Debbie read for us this morning from 2 Corinthians 1, we'll read it again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, what a promise, so that we can comfort those in any trouble. Do you see what happens there? It's not just a commodity that we receive, but there's a challenge for us not to just to receive it, but to give it as well. Not just to receive it, but to give it. You see, it says there, God of all comfort who comforts us so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we receive. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of God, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. When God is the source of our comfort, we need to see what that life looks like. Let us embrace divine discomfort in allowing us to be comfortable within what God gives to us and the comfort that He gives. We also need to allow our lives and our hearts to break for the things that break God's heart. One of my least favorite passages of scripture, I still don't get it, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to be asking James about it, is the verse in James 1:2. Consider it pure joy. What? Are you kidding? Consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith will bring endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Consider it pure joy. I've never been joyous when I'm going through trials. Anyone else been clicking their heels together, singing chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim chiri? I don't think so. It's not something that we get excited about. No, instead, we live out this word dikaiomenon, which is the Greek word that is the same that a silversmith would use when he's testing silver, or a goldsmith would use when they're purifying gold. You see, I used to sing this song, and we've sung it here a number of times. I've sung this song millions of times. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. I'm not entirely sure I'm comfortable singing that song anymore, because in there, there's this concept that I'm asking God to come and purify me, which means that I'm asking to go through tests and go through heat, because repeatedly, the goldsmith or the silversmith would heat up the metal, precious metal, and what would come to the surface? The dross that would then be scooped off the top. If I'm going to sing that song, then I need to be prepared to go through some tough times for God to heat up in me my faith so that those impurities can come to the surface and He can scoop them off. He repeatedly removes the dross. And you know what it is, friends? This journey of holiness means that the heat increases all the time. As our faith increases, so does the heat increase, so that we can continually have those impurities in our lives taken out. God is doing the same thing through us through pain. He wants to use it so that He can have His reflection in us. Have you ever felt helpless? Have you ever felt like, I can't do anything here? Never in my life have I felt more helpless than when I'm trying to be the comforting parent in the room of a child who is in pain and suffering a medical condition. Never have I felt more helpless. Never have I equally prayed that God would have breakthrough in that situation either. The most valuable things in my life are the direct result of God's presence in the midst of my pain. We sang a song this morning that said that in the midst of suffering, I will bring an offering of praise. There's another song that we sing. Brooke Ligetwood is the author, and it says these words, all of my life in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing and a reason to worship. Is that easy to sing when all that we can see on the landscape is suffering and pain? Not just in our life, but in the lives of our friends and our family around us? It is quite difficult. That obstacle is an opportunity for God to show off. The setback is going to become a divine setup. Our misery can become our ministry. How often have we journeyed alongside somebody who is going through something that we've already been through, and we can testify to the fact that when God took us through that test, that we can testify that He was faithful. When we've been in the midst of the mess, that we have a message of hope because of how God had broken through. Paul's letter to the Romans says this: not only so, but also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love, Romans 5:3-5 says, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Embraced that this isn't your best life, that God has something extraordinary for us into the future when we trust Him to bring perseverance and character and character hope. But for us to receive those things, then we need to often endure suffering and rely on God to carry us through. God has a best life intended for us. It is not a here and now life. It certainly isn't now. It's because our soul is created to be in relationship with Him, and we are always looking with a heavenly focus that we are going to experience the fullness of life when we get to heaven. Trying to fulfill an eternal longing with temporary comfort will only ever lead to an empty life. Whenever we try to fulfill our life with temporary comforts, all we're going to do is end up with an empty life. Let's allow ourselves to respond to the invitation of Jesus this morning, where He says to us, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If we want to look at where the comfort is when we come to Him, when we respond to His call in our lives. The challenge for us this morning is to not try to hang on to our life, because as Matthew says in his gospel, when we try to hang on to our life, we will lose it. But if we give up for our life for the sake of Jesus, we will save it. This morning, as we stop trying to have the endless pursuit of comfort, let's embrace the God of all comfort as our source of all comfort. What does that even mean? Well, when there are people in our lives that are challenging us, when there are things in our lives that are causing difficulties, let's allow God to use those, the mess, to create a message. Let's allow God to use the tests that come our way to create a testimony to His faithfulness in our lives. There are many times where we're involved in things that are, you know, I'd prefer not to actually. You know, I'd prefer to not do that. That's not super comfortable. But it's in the midst of our uncomfortable spaces, that God uses those to bring comfort. We have a challenge. We have a challenge in those verses that Debbie read for us this morning. Because in those verses, we read that God gives us comfort, not so that we can keep it for ourselves, so that we can bring comfort to those around us with the comfort that He's given. So this morning, for us to stop the endless pursuit of comfort and embracing a counterfeit comfort in our lives, we need to focus on the source of all comfort, that is Jesus Christ. And in the source of all comfort, we receive it, not to keep it, but receive it to give it once and twice and many times over to those around us who are needing to be comforted. The music team is going to come and share with us in a moment a song. And the words of that song are going to come up on the screen. But as we embrace comfort, are we embracing the invitation that Jesus guides each step, that He leads us safe within His love? Maybe it's been a long time since you've experienced comfort. Maybe you've experienced a level of discomfort for a long time, and you're wondering why everyone else seems to have easy street and you just seem to be struggling and trudging through knee-deep mud. Well, why don't you respond this morning to that invitation of Jesus? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you comfort. I will give you rest. God bless you each, friends. Have a great week.